Good afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminar. We're going to talk about the schedule in a moment, and it is a full one. You can see who the show's sponsors are, and you can visit all of their websites. You can link to our Facebook page. You can link to our new HOA and condo blog at www.hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic is HOA elections, and what a fiasco that always is. You can join our email list, and you can get copies of our newsletters and other announcements that we send out about the show week in and week out. And of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And the law firm's website is at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. Let's just get some housekeeping out of the way. I can tell you that our office is already working on the annual election for so many Florida associations. And like always, just remember, Florida law now provides members of a condo board, you have to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to the board. And in fact, you can even get certified 1 year before getting elected to the board. Lots of people like to get certified before actually becoming a board member, because then they can campaign and say that they're already certified. So lots of people think it's a big help to do so beforehand. And one way of getting certified, take the Condo Craze Board Member Certification course. We probably have a couple of hundred people are registered at this point. And it's the first course that was written by an attorney and it was approved by the Florida DBPR.
And that attorney was Eric. And yes. Eric has now certified nearly 3,000 Floridians who are now eligible to serve on a Florida condominium board of directors. Of course, this fun. The course is free. There's food served. You get to ask questions. You leave with a summary of everything that you learned and a really nice frameable certificate.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody knows election season has already started in lots of communities. So really, there isn't a better way to, you know, and in a better time to come out and learn about your duties as board members. You can come out and learn about budgets, reserves, financial reporting, board meeting procedures, and so much more. We've even added some information this year about making material alterations, competitive bidding, and emotional support animals. And if your board is interested in actually getting certified at your condo or maybe at our law office, you can give us a call at Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and we can make the arrangements to possibly bring it to you.
Yeah, and by the way, even though HOA board members don't have to get certified, when we teach the course outside of the South Florida area, we also teach the course for HOA board members, and we show everybody what the difference is between condo and HOA law. And, of course, Scott, at all of these seminars, our sponsors are going to be there, so it's a really great chance to meet them and see how they all can help your community. And on November 8th at the Hard Rock, there's even going to be representatives from the Broward County Property Appraiser's Office on hand, and they can answer all of your questions, again, in the dreaded month of November when everybody gets your real estate tax bill, so they can talk to you about what exemptions you may be qualified for. Again, the next seminar quickly approaching now. It's at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood on November 8th at 6 o'clock. Then on December 1st at 10 o'clock in the morning, we'll be at the Waldorf Astoria in Naples. We added another seminar recently, and this one's going to be at the South Florida Cooperator Expo at the Broward Convention Center on December 6th. And then on December 15th, we'll be back in Orlando at the Holiday Inn at Universal Studios. So we're giving the seminar literally all around the state.
The van is going to pay off.
Exactly. Just look for the Condo Craze and HOA's van. You know you're in the right place. And to register for, again, either the Hollywood, the Naples, the Fort Lauderdale, or the Orlando seminar, just go to the show's website at www.condocrazeandhoas.com. Fill out the form, and Brian will confirm that you are, in fact, registered.
Well, last show was all about the violence violence that takes place in our condo associations and HOAs. And we weren't talking about outsiders coming into the community to rob the place. Unfortunately, we were talking about violence between board members and the residents.
Yeah, last week was something, Karen. It was kind of a necessary evil to talk about. It's a, you know, definitely a downer of a topic. But as we discussed, sometimes these petty disputes in our associations, they wind up leading to assaults, batteries, and as we spoke about, even murder, like that case in Kentucky. And as Scott kept reminding us last week, if there is even the slightest hint that an upcoming meeting can get physical, why not hire the services of the local police department in order to kind of preserve the peace? You know, it's not expensive, and from personal experience, everybody, I can tell you, it can prevent screaming matches from turning into something much worse.
Right.
And as our listeners know, not only Florida, but also Las Vegas is a hotbed for condo and HOA insanity, I guess you can call it. There's an ongoing federal case out there that involves dozens and dozens of people getting arrested for conspiring to tamper with association elections in order to get people on the board who would cooperate in the filing of fraudulent construction defect lawsuits. If that's not enough, it's in the top three worst cities in the United States for the number of foreclosures in our country. And now, hold on to your hats, how about this story coming out of Vegas about one HOA president and his vice president wife? They were forced to appear at the Common Interest Communities Commission hearing last week in Nevada. And get this, this commission is actually a government-appointed commission, and they had the power, and they absolutely exercised it, and they entered an order removing an entire board of directors of an HOA, and get this, banned them for life from serving on another board. And in addition, they actually made this couple pay back another $116,000. And you can bet people are listening to the show now and saying, how do I get them to do that here in Florida?
Well, what in the world did they do to warrant a lifetime ban?
Well, they were found guilty of more than 200 willful violations of state law for mistreating homeowners and misappropriating money. The commission found that the husband and wife spent more than $10,000 of the association's money while they were president and vice president on personal utility bills, groceries, gas, travel, and even membership to an online adult chat website.
Unbelievable. And here's what makes the case actually even more incredible. The commission found that this husband and wife, they were also guilty, get this, of elderly abuse against the third board member who was put, at least in their words, was put on the board simply because she was elderly, vulnerable, and easily manipulated by the president and his vice president wife. And Scott, I know you can certainly tell our listeners, you had a similar situation pop up in a case that you were handling.
Yeah, our case, though, just settled. But in this real crazy case that we had, been working on for, you know, almost over a year now, I took the depo of the oldest member of a board of directors, and he was, you know, pushing 90, if I remember correctly. And basically, his only function on the board was just to sign checks for the other two, who made all the decisions. And it really became clear just after a few minutes when I was taking the gentleman's deposition that he was simply being abused by the other board members because he testified that he had no idea why he was signing the checks. He had no idea. And listen, I've taken a lot of depos of people that, you know, claim they don't know anything.
But this guy didn't.
Yeah, this guy was either the greatest actor of all time or he was telling the truth. And he was very, you know, he tried to be as forthcoming as he could about everything that he did. But he kept saying to me, all I do is sign the checks. What don't you understand?
Right. Somebody younger than me puts the check in front of me. I sign it.
And suffice it to say, after we made opposing counsel aware of possibly the possible ramifications for what we just found out, the case settled a few weeks later.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can tell you, I, for one, wouldn't mind seeing the state attorney's office come forward with such a charge either in Nevada or here in South Florida. That would definitely be interesting. Because there are hundreds of thousands of condos and HOAs in this country. And rest assured, some of them definitely have board members stealing association funds with really what you say, Scott, is the unknowing help of elderly members of the board. And I really can't think of a worse nonviolent crime, to tell you the truth. But for those listeners out there who are kind of licking their chops because you've heard that some commission can actually remove a director from your board for life, well, that is not the state of the law in Florida. In fact, in an HOA, even if a director's actually arrested, they get arrested for stealing association funds in an HOA, you still get to stay on the board. At least in a condo, if you're arrested for stealing the association funds, you're removed pending those charges. But in an HOA, you steal, you get arrested, and you even get to stay on the board. I can tell you, we're about to do a blog. I think it comes out in 2 weeks about the differences between HOAs and condos.
Right.
And I can tell you, when you read this, you're really not going to believe the difference between the two. Apparently, the Florida legislature thinks that illegalities and stealing only occur in condominiums and not in HOAs. And the people who read this are going to be outraged. But how about before we take a break, we take Bruce from Fort Lauderdale. How are you, Bruce?
Doing fine. I'm on the board of a small condo in Fort Lauderdale. And we just had a neighbor die with no next of kin. And he does have a... a trustee or somewhere who's out of the country, and in the meantime, there was this odor and everything in the condo, and we went in and cleaned as much as we could, brought a company in to do it, and I'm wondering if we're allowed to do that. We did it already, so that doesn't make any sense, but I mean, if we're allowed to do that, some of the people want to repair their air conditioning and do all sorts of other things. I said, no, we just did what we got to do to protect the other condos.
Right.
Where are we? I mean, legally, are we okay?
It's a great question, Bruce, and this happens more often than you would think. But you did the right thing by taking steps necessary to prevent the surrounding units and even the common elements, perhaps, from suffering damage and from making sure the people that surround that unit don't live with any odors that are emanating from that unit. Now the question is really who's going to be responsible for paying back the association. You have a situation where you're not really sure who owns it. Follow the regular steps. Place a lien on – send out that 30-day letter that you're required to send out telling them that all these amounts of money that are now due. If it's not paid, then you send out another letter and a lien telling them you're going to foreclose within 30 days. All you're required to do is send it to the last known address. And once that happens, your attorney for the association should file a foreclosure action against the unit. And because you have this, you know, situation where you can't find out who the owner is, you're going to ask the court to appoint what's called an attorney ad litem, who's going to represent the interest of that deceased unit owner. And that's one way of protecting the association. You put the burden on that owner to try to find out who the next of kin is and who's responsible for paying you back. But that's what I would do. Okay.
Okay, so you're talking about a 30-day notice to whom?
Yeah, to the you're required by law to send it to the last known address. That's all you're required to do, and if it winds up going eventually forwarded to one of the heirs, then great. If it doesn't, the association is still covered. Eventually, this will work itself out when the association files a foreclosure case and an attorney ad litem is appointed to do a search and find out who the heirs are. That's what I would do. Any questions about that, give us a call in the office. 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855-4 Condo Craze. It is time for our first break. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. When we get back, did you hear the one about the lawyer who rented out his client's home without their knowledge and kept the money? That's not a joke. And we'll talk about a developer in Orlando who decided to help himself to the association funds. And, of course, we'll take your calls again about anything and everything in a condo and HOA world. Just give us a call in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, have a commercial spot during each week's show. You can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
All right. How about we take Karen in Boca? How are you, Karen?
Okay. How are you guys doing?
Okay. How can we help?
I have a question. We have a contract with someone and we're trying to terminate it.
When you say we, wait, who is we, Karen?
The board of directors.
Okay. And you have a contract with who?
Do I have to tell you their name?
No. I mean, is it a management company? Is it a landscaper?
Yes, it's a management. I'm an HOA okay. And with a management company.
Okay.
And before we even signed the contract with them, the board asked a bunch of questions. And we were reassured that we had a 30-day cancellation clause in the contract. There is nothing in our contract that says that. But the vice president who came to my home and sat down with me and board members had questions, he answered them and said, Florida is an at-will state, and we were told we could cancel within 30 days at any time.
Okay, at-will employment. Okay, the at-will language that they gave that they regurgitated back to you, at-will
yes.
only applies in terms of an employer-employee relationship, not a contractual agreement that you have with your management company for them to manage your association for a time certain. So whether or not you can fire that management company is going to be determined by the actual language that's in your contract. I can tell you, you know, I think all of our sponsors have clauses in there that allow the association to cancel upon 30 or 60 days notice, regardless of fault. A lot of contracts have language in there that I hate that say if the management company does something wrong, then you have to give them a cure period, and then they have a right to
yes.
cure. And the management company will always say that they cured it. The HOA will always say they didn't cure it. And then it can turn into a court battle. So unless there's express language in that contract that gives you a right to cancel with or without cause, get ready for a fight. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. And about it's not a good idea to use the attorney that the association has because they're working for the management company. Should I seek other counsel from someone else?
Are you saying that they represent both the management company and the association?
That I don't know, and that's another question that I had. Who does your attorney?
The attorney represents
work for.
It's funny that this question comes up because we preach about this all the time, and it's unfortunate that you even have to ask the question. The attorney represents the association. His loyalties are to the association. Lots of times, management companies like to dictate who you use. Let's say for your attorney or your landscaper, you know, or any other contractor.
Right.
But that bottom line is, once the attorney takes over representation of your association, his duty of loyalty goes to the association and not to the management company that may or may not have recommended him or her. So, again, that attorney owes you that duty of loyalty. But if you're not comfortable with it, again, the association has the choice to look elsewhere. Okay?
Right, yeah. Like, if there's, like, a whole bunch of stuff, like, say, it's termination by agreement. This agreement may be terminated by mutual consent of the manager and the association at any time. Then it goes into termination for failure to cure a breach. And then termination without a clause.
All right, Karen, yeah, we're not going to read your contract on the air.
No,
but if you'd like
I'm
to
not.
Give us
I'm
a call sometime, we'd be happy to talk to you.
All right, taking the next call. How about Esther in Boca?
Hello.
Hi, Esther. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Okay. How can we help?
All right. I'm new to Boca, but I live in a condominium. I've been fighting with them for 2.5 years to have the condo painted. We pay $605 a month HOA fees. They promise they're going to paint. They change property companies. They can't give you a date of when are they going to start the painting. And it seems that they don't communicate with anybody that lives there. You don't get a newsletter or update. They had one meeting 5 months ago, and then they had a meeting this past week, which I couldn't go to. But aren't they supposed to answer to a higher authority if the association says the building needs to be painted? Why don't they do what they say they're going to do or we pay them to do?
So you're just not happy with the way the building is being maintained, right? Even though the fact that you're
the
paying in excess of $600 a month in assessments. So,
right. The building has everything that any other condo has. It has a guard, it has a gate, it has a pool, and it has grounds that need to be mowed. Nothing unusual than other condos as far as I've seen in Florida. And it's right in Boca Raton, and it looks terrible. It's slummy looking.
Scott, correct me if I'm wrong. They don't really have to answer to a higher authority, but that higher authority, in a sense, is...
their constituents.
Exactly. The unit owners who they represent. You don't like the way the building looks. They keep telling you that they're going to paint it. They keep making promises that they're just not fulfilling. Guess what? I'm guessing that it's getting pretty close to election time in your community. And, Esther, I'd like to see nothing more than for you to submit your name and run for the board. How about it? You're going to go on record right here on the show? You're running for the board, Esther?
I would run on the board if they would allow me, but it's very tight closed.
No, you're allowed to run for the board. If you don't like the way things are going, you can submit your name, be a candidate, hope to get elected, and when you get control, first thing you do, sign a painting contract.
Yeah, that'll be your platform.
Exactly, after it's looked at by an attorney, of course. All right, time to take our break. Margo from Miami, we see you on hold. Taking your phone calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. Phone lines are hot today. Give us a call if you have any questions. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585.
How about we go to Margo in Miami? How are you, Margo?
Hi, Eric. I'm fine. Thank you. I have two questions. Last year at the budget meeting, of which I was the only unit owner that attended, when it came to the topic of discussing employee salaries, they sent me out of the room. And I said, well, I think, you know, that was the statute at one time, but I think they changed it back so that I could have access to that information. But no, I got sent out of the room.
Wow.
So I'm wondering, for this year's budget meeting, what do you think my rights are?
Well, it says, what the statute says, I don't have it in front of me as we speak, but the board can have private meetings when discussing personnel matters, whatever personnel matters actually means. And the statute's even more complicated when you try to get records related to what employees actually earn, because you're not entitled to the actual payroll records according to the statute, but you are entitled to other documents that kind of make reference to what the employees actually make, like year-end financial statements or things of that nature. So yeah, the statute, quite frankly, is very poorly drafted. But to answer your question more directly, the statute does say that the board can hold a private meeting to discuss personnel matters, and I guess that means things, although it's not defined, like raises or deciding whether or not to hire or fire somebody or take disciplinary action against them. So that's the a long-winded answer to a statute, quite frankly, that's very unclear.
Right. Okay. And another question. The previous manager resigned in August, and they promoted the assistant to manager. They say they were self-managing until they appointed this manager. But I looked at the records at the Department of Business and Professional Regulations, and she's not licensed. It just says she's ready to take the test.
Happens
and it's
all
that way
the time.
For
yeah.
A month.
Yep. I can tell you that person absolutely should not, no way, no how, be performing community association manager tasks. And I believe, Scott, maybe you can recall this, there's something in the community association manager's statute itself, if you remember, that says one of the reasons why that manager, even if they pass the examination at this point, I believe that they can still deny them that person a license if they find out that they were practicing community association management without a license previously. So it's not only dangerous for the management, for the manager, it's dangerous for the association, it's dangerous for both. So it is a bad idea, and it's something that both the association and the manager should cease doing immediately. But on that note, Margo, the phones are stacked up, so we got to take our next call. How about we go to Joanne in Delray Beach? How are you, Joanne?
Hello. Yes,
how can we help you, Joanne? You're on the air.
Okay. I live in a condo, and the condo next door to me was in foreclosure. And they thought they had shut the water off in the condo, which they didn't realize that the pipe was broken, the valve. Well, since then, the condo was full of black mold, the walls. They had to completely destroy the condo, take everything down, the walls, everything. There's nothing left. And the condo association said that they would check the air in my condo since I was right next door to it. When they checked, they had the service call come in. And when they came in, they did find that I had black mold in my apartment in the air. Air was black mold spore. Okay, so now they advised me to move out of the apartment until I could get the air clean. So I moved out of my condo for 2 weeks and had them come in and clean the air and everything. And they paid for the first air testing. They said they would not pay for the second air testing after they cleaned the air. And I'm wanting to know, it's now cost me $1,800 to get my air cleaned in my condo. I submitted it to my condo insurance, and they denied it because they said there was no source. They couldn't find a source.
Right.
I'm between a rock and a hard place at this time.
Well, you don't have a bill. Are you saying you hired the tester of the air for the $1,800, or did the condo do it?
The condo had the people come in and test the air the first time, which told me I had black mold.
Right. And who hired the second one, or was the second one actually hired?
And then I had them come in, and it was Pink Panther come in, and they did the first testing. And then they came in, and they did the last testing after I had Serpco come in and clean the air.
Yeah, Joanne, I think, quite frankly, probably should have got permission first before hiring that second mold tester for $1,800. Probably would have been a good idea to ask your insurance company beforehand to actually send out somebody to test the air, rather than hire that person of your own volition and then submit the bill to the insurance carrier. I think you would have been in a lot better shape, perhaps, beforehand, making a demand on them before instead of after to pay a bill. Because they probably could have got it done a whole lot cheaper, too, so they're not going to pay you the $1,800. But on that note, yeah. Joanne, the phones are stacked up, so we got to keep going. How about we go to Blaine in Palm City? How are you, Blaine?
Yeah. Hello, Eric. I live in a 50-unit community with a gate, and we don't know whether we're a homeowners association or what we are. We are governed by our articles of incorporation, which were drawn up in 1972, our bylaws, which were enacted in 1995. Sometimes they use 716, and sometimes the board uses 720 when they answer questions and items that come up. More recently, I can cite this. We have a lot of delinquencies like most other places do, and we don't have the necessary funds to fulfill the allotments put in the budget. So they take the money out of that part of the budget and put it in to another part of the budget, which is more pressing in their ideas. So the board is very inexperienced. None of them even bothered to go to any of your lectures or anyone else to get certification. And sometimes they use 716, sometimes they use 720 to their authenticity to answer questions of concerns.
Yeah.
Now, how are we under, we have a letter from our lawyer that refers to a certain situation that we are governed by 720, but the board says we never made any formal declaration to accept 720.
All right, let me slow it down for a second. You're probably definitely not governed by Florida Statute 718 unless your governing documents actually call yourself a condominium. So you probably
716.
Well, 718 is the condo statute now. So
yes, but 716 was the old.
Understand?
HOA,
right.
It?
That's exactly right. But but now under 718, you're probably not governed under that. So. When 720 was created, the intent of 720 really was to take all these communities that, you know, you're not really sure how they're to be governed and throw them under one 720 umbrella. So without looking at your documents, my best guess would be that you're governed by Florida Statute 720. But if you'd like me to take a look at your documents, again, call me at the office, 855-4-CONDOCRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDOCRAZE. How about we go to Gladys in Hobie Sound? Did I pronounce that
Hope
right?
Sound.
Hope Sound. I don't know.
That's all right. It's Hobie Beach.
Hobie Beach.
Hope
okay.
Sound. Hi, Gladys.
Hi. No, it's not Hobie Beach. It's Hobie Beach.
Hobie Beach. Okay. I got Hope Sound.
H-O-B as in boy E.
All right, Gladys, how can we help?
Okay. I live in a homeowners association, and about a month ago, they came around with a piece of paper wanting to know the ages of the people that live in the individual houses. Was that legal?
Are you a 55 and over community?
Yes, we are.
Okay. In a 55 and over community, a lot of associations don't realize this, but there is a requirement that every 2 years, your 55 and over community must take what's called reliable surveys that at least one person in every unit is 55 years or older in terms of age. So, yes, they can come around and they can ask you for a driver's license. They can ask you for a birth certificate. They can ask you for
okay.
a passport.
All right. So,
and I can tell you that associations, 55 and over communities that don't do this, you stand the risk of losing your status as a 55 and over community. And as a result, you would be required to accept children in your community.
Mm.
So all you 55 and over communities out there, make sure you are taking those reliable surveys every 2 years. Gladys, thank you so much for the phone call. Let's take our final break of the hour. Wow, I'm tired. The phones are crazy today. Taking your call still to the end, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Well, welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. And we are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585.
How about we go to Beatrice in Fort Lauderdale? How are you, Beatrice?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm trying to find out, is this property under foreclosure?
You're trying to find out if a property is in foreclosure?
Yes, it
is.
Yes, definitely. Good chance it is in South Florida. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
No, what are the specifics?
I can give you the property address so you can tell me yes or no.
No, what you got to do is find out who the owner is, and then you can go to the clerk of court's website and do a name search and see if anything comes up. That might be one way to find out if it's in foreclosure. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But that's not something we can answer for you on the show. But thanks for trying, Beatrice. I wish you luck.
Okay, thank you.
All right, okay. All right, we have lots of listeners each week in the northwest corner of the state, in Pensacola, and I thank them for listening. So, Scott, how about we give Pensacola some publicity today on the show this week? What do you say?
All right, I don't know if this is the kind of publicity they're looking for, though. A homeowner association by the name of Lillian Woods is claiming that $90,000 is missing from the association's funds. And guess who they think took it? The person who has access to all the money, the treasurer.
Oh, boy. And deputies say over the last 5 years, the treasurer wrote checks from the association's three accounts to herself, her husband, and her business.
Yeah, at some point, the bank got a little suspicious and froze the account. And the treasurer did actually admit to taking the money. In fact, I understand that some of the association's vendors are being nice to the community and are continuing to work there even though they haven't gotten paid and trust the association to eventually repay them.
Yeah, the HOA president now says, listen to this, after the fact, from now on, they're going to have two people sign all checks. And they might even get themselves one of those fancy new management associations. But sorry, Prez, there are two things that you should have done a long time ago. You know, make sure two people sign the check. And when you're even have a doubt as to whether or not management would be helpful, they probably will be. Now, you know, you have to hope that there's insurance in place that would actually pay the damages here. Yeah, and I'm not sure there is.
Yeah, right. And should there be insurance in place that actually gets the unit owners back their stolen money?
Well, if you live in a condo, Karen, then the answer is, you know, yes, there probably would be insurance. But remember before how we were talking about the crazy differences between HOAs and condos and how apparently the legislature thinks that crime only happens in condos and not in HOAs? Well, let's look at what the condo statute requires of condominium associations. There's actually a statute under the condo law that says the association shall maintain insurance or fidelity bonding for all persons who control or disperse association funds. The insurance policy or fidelity bond has to cover the maximum funds that will be in the custody of the association or its management agent at any one time. And the term persons who control or disperse funds of the association includes but isn't limited to those individuals authorized to sign checks on behalf of the association and the president, the secretary, and the treasurer. The association has to bear the cost of any such bonding. So again, under the condo statute, there would be insurance, and it would cover everybody and anybody who has access to these funds.
And surprise, Eric. Yeah. The HOA statute does not require HOAs to have this type of employee or theft insurance. So, you know, there's a real good chance that there is no insurance for these homeowners up in Pensacola.
Yeah, again, this doesn't surprise me one bit that HOAs aren't covered. Remember, you know, only about 2 years ago, the law was changed to finally prevent felons from serving on the HOA boards. The condo statute had that for as long as I can remember, but HOA boards, yeah, you had to accept felons on your boards up until recently. But again, the legislature only recently got around to the idea, perhaps, that felons also live in HOAs, go figure, and not just condominiums. You know, now maybe they should force HOAs to provide this type of insurance to the homeowners as well, so when they get robbed from people, there's actually funds to pay the unit owners back, rather than now probably having to pass some huge special assessment.
But the owners can certainly sue the ex-treasurer, right?
Yeah, they can definitely sue that ex-treasurer, Karen, but most likely they're never going to get the money back. Remember, the people who steal these association funds, they almost always use the money to pay bills for it, or they smoke it away, or they gamble it away.
Yeah.
That money is gone with the wind. They're never going to get that back. So, again, how about the legislature passing a requirement that if you handle funds—
They never buy a mutual fund with it.
Right, exactly, yeah. All right, remember we were talking about that young man a couple of weeks ago who actually passed the Florida bar exam, but he couldn't get admitted. Because he was technically here illegally. His parents brought him here when he was a young kid.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we all argued that this kid should actually be allowed to practice law here. We keep calling him kid, but he's not a kid. He's a young man. And let's hope that if this young man does get the opportunity to become a lawyer, he doesn't go down the path that a Chicago, Illinois lawyer recently went down. And our listeners definitely will not like this story in the minute we got left. A husband and a wife owned a home, and they were getting foreclosed on. So what did they do? They went and they hired a lawyer. And they obviously realized they didn't want to keep the home. They were willing to move out. And they wound up moving out of the property. But instead of the lawyer now simply helping to wrap up his client's case, listen to what this lawyer did. Scott, tell
him. Yeah, this guy, he was definitely ingenious, is I guess what the word we'll use. After his clients vacated their home, this attorney actually rented out his client's home to new tenants and pocketed the rent.
Now, this attorney claimed that he was actually entitled to do this because he was owed legal fees from his client, but he forgets about the fact that he was given an initial retainer of $2,500.
Yeah, this guy's defense was that his clients gave him a power of attorney, and therefore he was able to do whatever he wanted with this property. That's actually his defense.
Yeah, that only works in cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. And he even said when interviewed, since they gave him this power of attorney, it was basically his property, and if he wanted to burn it down, he can even burn down the property, so he certainly wasn't doing anything wrong by renting out his client's unit and pocketing the proceeds. And I can tell you, if that's his position, he may want to also burn his bar card, because I think the Illinois bar may wind up doing it for him. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes yet another week of Condo Craze and HOAs. Thanks so much. The phones were busy from literally 1 minute to the next. Thanks, everybody, for your great calls. We'll see you again next week on Condo Craze and HOAs. Everybody have a great week.